You're listening to Insight from KXJZ. Coming up, The Dream People of the Amazon, a locally produced film about a tribe protecting its jungle, and Be Brave, Bold Robot. First, at certain times of the year in Northern California, vast tracts of the valley are covered by water, often to grow rice. But a study by the Oakland-based think tank, the Pacific Institute, says that this form of farming uses more water than is needed. They say that other crops could be more profitably grown. Peter Glick of the Pacific Institute has been a MacArthur Fellow and in 2006 was elected to the National Academy of Sciences. He joins us by phone from Oakland. Welcome to Insight.
I'm happy to be here, David.
And with me in the studio is Mike Wade, the Executive Director of the California Farm Water Coalition, which represents farmers in the Central Valley. Mike Wade has previously been a partner in an almond growing operation in Merced County. Welcome to Insight.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with Peter Glick of the Pacific Institute. Your study is called More with Less, Agricultural Water Conservation and Efficiency in California.
Yes.
Could you paint a picture for us of water use in our area? Where is most of the water used?
Well, first of all, let me apologize for not being in the studio. I'd love to be there in person. I just come out of a meeting at the United Nations talking about, in fact, this exact same thing, how to grow more food worldwide with fewer resources, more efficiently, more effectively, and more profitably. And what we did in this study was we looked at the potential throughout the Central Valley of California to do just that, to grow more food with less water. We assumed from the very beginning that a strong, healthy agricultural sector is important for California now and should be important for California in the future. But we also think it's frankly unlikely that there's going to be much more water for agriculture and possible that there's going to be less water for agriculture. And if we're going to have a healthy agricultural sector, we need to figure out how to do more of what smart farmers are already doing in parts of the state, and that is use water more efficiently to be more productive.
And what crops are we talking about that use a lot of water? Rice, obviously, and that's very big around here. What other crops?
Well, first of all, let me say our focus was not on shifting the crops we grow. I know one of the lead-ins to the show today was, should California farmers be growing less thirsty crops? I do think there's some potential for that, but that was actually not the main focus of the report.
Okay.
We looked at four possibilities, one of which was shifting toward less thirsty crops. But the others were using more efficient irrigation technologies that permit farmers to apply just the right amount of water when and where it's needed. Another scenario we looked at was the potential for basically monitoring irrigation application more carefully, making sure that we're using water only when we need it and only where we need it.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those techniques have the ability to increase our productivity and reduce the amount of water that farmers have to apply. And that brings economic benefits, it brings environmental benefits, and frankly, in the long run, I think it's inevitable that it's going to bring some policy benefits, too.
Mike Wade, you're a former farmer and represent farmers and have been working on these subjects for a long time yourself. Your response was fairly negative to this report, and on your blog you wrote that the report posed a serious threat to California's family farmers. I was wondering what were...
Well, some of the recommendations that come out of the report we do feel are threatening to California's family farmers. First of all, farmers grow crops because there's a market for them. And to simply believe that that crop shift can occur, which is a significant part of the report, it's mentioned numerous times throughout on how to shift from what are supposedly high water-using crops to others, simply isn't practical. There are crops, as you mentioned earlier, such as rice that's grown widely in the Sacramento Valley, that grows there because of certain soil and climate conditions.
Mm-hmm.
We can't move rice into vegetable crops. We heard yesterday at the Department of Food and Agriculture Board hearing that farmers can grow rice on certain areas there. So expecting them to voluntarily shift crops when they can't shift to other crops is not realistic.
Now, to be fair, Peter just said that you were that wasn't the focus of the report.
Well,
I mischaracterized it in that way.
Indeed, let me respond to that. We did look at crop shifting as one of four scenarios, although there were others, as I've mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But we also are not telling farmers what to grow where. We're not telling rice farmers who have soils that are only appropriate for growing rice to grow something else. That would be ridiculous. And Mike is exaggerating what we're suggesting here. In fact, the recommendations that we make in in contrast to being a threat to family farmers, I think are precisely the sorts of things we already see family farmers doing. The smart farmers are already shifting crops. They're already using smarter irrigation technologies. And what we're saying is two things. One is there's more potential to do these smart things. And second, we think they're barriers to farmers. They're things that prevent them from buying new irrigation equipment because of the economic cost, or their regulatory barriers, or their informational barriers, and we talk about how to overcome those barriers.
Well, let me throw it back to Mike Wade then, because you farmers do try to use water as efficiently as they can, right?
Yes.
Or is this a matter of we've all been used to having a lot of water to use, and as time has gone by, we're getting less and less. What's been the response within your community?
Well, farmers have always adopted new technology as it's become available. It goes back to the very beginnings of agriculture's history in California. Today's no different. We have technology such as global positioning system, satellite technology that's guiding tractors and helping farmers to install more efficient irrigation systems. And it's not just the so-called smart farmers, as Peter Glick says, are installing irrigation systems like this. It's people that can afford it. I will give the report some positive comments that it's recommending investment in high-technology irrigation through the form of tax credits and other ways to help farmers achieve this that otherwise can't do that.
Yep.
And I think that's a great idea, and we fully support that. But some of the other issues in terms of irrigation scheduling and crop water monitoring, which has the largest recommended or the largest benefit that's identified in the report, comes from an extrapolation that's just not realistic when you consider the survey group that was considered to look at how much improvement can be achieved with water use efficiency.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second. Peter Glick, you reported four major ways that farmers could reduce water consumption, and on the chart that was included, something called smart irrigation scheduling was like four times as much improvement as any other way of saving water. Could you explain what smart irrigation scheduling is?
Well, there are lots of examples let me come back to that, but let me first say the agricultural community does as well as they can, given the signals that they get. They're not as efficient as they could be in a theoretical maximum world. We don't live in that world. There are barriers to farmers buying new equipment, to buying computer systems. Only 10% of California farmers are using computer-based systems now. So I think it's indisputable that we could do better. And I don't think Mike is saying we can't do better. We can do better. There are barriers to doing better. Let's figure out how to do better, and let's help California farmers move to a more efficient future, because frankly, it's inevitably coming. Your specific question, farmers sometimes only get water on a certain schedule. They may only get water every 10 or 16 or 18 days, because that's the way it's delivered by the agricultural districts. And yet the crops may need water earlier, or they may need water later. Farmers may need more information because one part of their field may need irrigation at a certain time and the other part may not need irrigation at a certain time. Part of this is better information to farmers, and we're moving in that direction, but there's not likely to be more water for the agricultural community in the future, no matter what we might want. And if that's the case, we have to do, as this report says, more with less.
Right.
Well, I can't agree more. We can work to improve our efficiency, and I think the demonstrated ability of some farmers who have had that opportunity have shown that. Between 1967 and 2000, crop production in California has increased 89%. The volume of the crops that they've grown and marketed has gone up 89% on roughly the same amount of water, about a 2% increase over that time period. Mm-hmm. So the efficiencies are there, and they've been occurring as they're cost-effective and they're available.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not cost-effective and they're not available for everybody, just as the most efficient cars aren't being driven by everybody that's a commuter.
Mm-hmm.
So David,
But let me ask Mike, though. So in these efficiencies that have caused such a huge leap in production for such a small increase in water, what have those been?
They've been, as Peter has mentioned, irrigation technology, micro-irrigation, crop scheduling, water irrigation, water scheduling, the ability to measure soil moisture in a real-time manner that we could never do before. There are a vast number of new technologies that hit the market every 5 to 10 years that are adopted, but it takes time. Like anything, it takes time to spread through the industry.
Mm-hmm. And now I assume that the state has a pretty large role in this, in regulating the flow of the water, controlling the flow of the water. Has Peter, did your report address the state's role in managing water?
We don't address that explicitly. What this report was designed to do was to explore those options for improving the efficiency of water use and the barriers to those, as we've been discussing. And to be honest, it sounds as though Mike agrees that there are efficiency improvements to be gained in precisely the ways that we describe in this report. And maybe he disputes the quantity that we come up with, the 5 to 10 to 15% of the current agricultural water use that we think could be saved. But if this is a dispute about how much could be saved, that's a silly dispute. What we ought to be really talking about is what can we do to help farmers use water as efficiently as possible, because that's the future. It's coming, and it's come for many farmers, but it's going to have to come for more of them.
Mike Wade, your response?
Well, I have to take issue with another part of the report that goes back to our initial concern about it being a threat to California's family farmers.
You'd like to argue, Mike.
In several areas of the report, the executive summary and farther into the main body of the report, it suggested, with the constant drumbeat, that we retire up to 1.5 million acres of so-called drainage-impaired farmland on the San Joaquin Valley's west side.
I'm afraid we're going to have to wrap it up here, though.
He's falsely saying we're suggesting fallowing, and that's not in the report. I urge your listeners, if they're interested, to read the report, because we do not recommend fallowing.
Okay.
And our rebuttal at farmwater.org.
Farmwater.org. And where can people look at your report, Peter Glick?
The Pacific Institute's website, which is PACINST.org, PACINST.org.
All right. Well, obviously, this is going to continue to be an issue into the future. Thank you both for joining me.
Thank you, David.
Peter Glick is president of the Pacific Institute, and Mike Wade is the executive director of the California Farm Water Coalition. You're listening to Insight from KXJZ. I'm David Watts-Barton. We'll be right back.